following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. Man, oh man, Friday after this show was a huge news day. Absolutely huge. Vladimir Putin sent overtures to President Obama, which were obviously fraudulent, which I suspected from the start. We now know that's true. We'll try to talk about that. Bill Cramer, former Assembly Majority Leader, was charged with sexual assault. If you've not read the criminal complaint, it's bad. And this is not the most recent episode. This one's from 2011. Cramer is defiant and says he's not going to resign from the Assembly, which leaves Assembly leadership, namely Speaker Robin Voss, with a very public spectacle of expelling him. Is Cramer going to force that upon Republicans, who I think have no choice but to expel him? It hasn't been done, I don't think, in the state legislature in about a century. There is a constitutional mechanism with which to do it. Then on Saturday, the Wall Street Journal ran what they call their weekend interview with Kelly Rindfleisch. If the name doesn't ring a bell, Kelly Rindfleisch was the woman convicted of a felony for allegedly working for then-Lieutenant Governor candidate Brett Davis's campaign on county time when she worked for Scott Walker in Milwaukee County. She did an interview with the Wall Street Journal. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to share quite a bit of it with you because it's amazing. Then, also over the weekend, word of another state lawmaker who may want to challenge Tom Petri in a primary for Congress. Wait, there's more. Then over the weekend, I saw Noah. Boy, are we going to talk about that. No matter what I do or don't get to, we will get to that. And I have to spend time on the Badgers' amazing, thrilling, adrenaline-pumping, and I'm talking about people like me watching, adrenaline-pumping victory over Arizona, which I think is one of the great NCAA tournament games of all time. Yeah, a little excited over there, are you? Still don't understand why the games are on TBS and not CBS for the Final Four. It's, what, 8 o'clock Saturday night, I believe, our time? 7:50 or 49, whatever. Jason's nervous. I'm nervous, but I do like their chances against Kentucky. Here's what I would say. I think they're as good as any team left standing. Would you agree with that? They could win or lose to all of them. I mean, no doubt. I think it's also something special. They're the last man standing in the Big Ten. I really thought Michigan and Michigan State were going to be there, but I'll tell you, I wanted them to be. I really did. Can you imagine how cool it would have been to go through Michigan to get to Michigan State for the Badgers? Wow. Not going to happen. It's Kentucky, and who is Florida facing? Whom? I do not remember. Oh, yeah, UConn. Yeah. Florida, the last number one seed left standing. We're going to get to that later in the show. I want to talk about the role instant replay nearly played in that game. And it's an abject lesson for all sports on the dangers of instant replay. I want to start with a couple of things here, though. Item one, tomorrow is spring election day in Wisconsin. The statewide estimate is about 12% of Wisconsin will turn out. Now, that's a statewide average, and it's a guess. I think it's probably about right. There are no high-profile statewide races. There's not a state Supreme Court race. There's not state superintendent of public instruction. It's mostly local races. Turnout might be a little higher here in our part of the state where we have a lot of school referenda, school district throughout the area. We've talked about those. That might drive it a little bit. But this is going to be one of those times where a very small fraction of potential voters will make some pretty big decisions on school board races, county board races, city council races, village trustee races, town boards, and so on. I've used this as a lesson in this when folks in Appleton had no idea that a comprehensive bike lane plan was passed back in 2010. Now as it gets implemented, what the hell? What are they taking our parking away for? What's going on? Because people don't pay attention. And the reality is, and this is not meant in any way as a slam on city officials, county, local government officials, school board, county board, and so on. But you are elected historically by such a small percentage of people who you represent that it's really unfortunate. By the way, I know that the people running would much rather have a lot of people vote, at least most of them would. They wish people were more engaged. I do want to talk just briefly about a couple of races. There's a husband and wife team running against Guy Zima. It's an interesting story. Jim and Angie Warner. Jim currently represents the Aldermanic district that Guy used to. He defeated Guy. Now Guy's running again. Now, instead of facing Guy as an incumbent, he's challenging Guy for his county board seat. And Jim's wife, Angie, is vying for the now open seat because her husband challenging Guy, he just chose not to do both. It's now an open seat for Guy's old council seat, which is currently Jim Warner's. I just want to make you aware of something. I sent an email to Angie and Jim Warner. Guy offered to debate them 2-on-1 on this show, which I thought would have been a very interesting debate. I've not heard back from them. It's possible they didn't get the email, but it certainly appears to have been sent off. It's too late now. I wouldn't do it tomorrow, obviously. But I did make that offer. They never responded. I think that would have been a fascinating, because this is one of the more interesting races. It's another race that people have asked me to comment about. The county board race where Sandy Duckett is challenging Andy Nicholson. I don't have a lot to say about that race. I would just say this. Andy's a staunch conservative, but he has alienated some people with his personality over the years. Full disclosure, Sandy Duckett used to be a sales representative for WTAQ. So I have some insight into her political belief system. She seems to be identifying with the Republican Party at this moment. My personal take on her is she's very moderate. It's just my personal take. She may be mostly a fiscal conservative, and I would say mostly. But we had our differences in our debates when she was here. She's a perfectly nice person. I think what her supporters are banking on is that Andy can be perceived as abrasive at times in his personality. I do not have a recommendation in that race. I'm not going to make a recommendation. Not voting in it, not going to make a recommendation. But I think my personal take is if you're looking at pure conservative bona fides, I would give the edge to Andy. However, as I said, Andy has also alienated some people, including me from time to time, but I've always tried to continue a relationship with him because he can be very abrasive. And I would agree with that. Beyond that, those are the two things to consider in that race. I have no comment beyond that. As you know, I often do have harsh words for the various Gannett newspapers, including the Green Bay paper. I do want to say something, though. Their Wisconsin media investigative team, and what they do is, Eric Licky, who I think writes for the Sheboygan Press, I'm not sure, but I think he does, tends to lead this team. They have done some very good work, and we have used as background, we credit them. We've used a lot of their stuff. They're doing some very good investigative work. They have a piece, and I believe this did show up in ultimately in the Green Bay paper websites. Looked like it started with Sheboygan, though. They did an investigative piece on stingray cell phone tracking. Basically, what it comes down to is at least two Wisconsin law enforcement agencies have the ability to track cell phones, and not a lot of people know about it. And even in their investigation, the law enforcement agencies involved didn't want to say much about it. Stingray cell phone tracking technology is closely guarded by Harris Corporation, and the law enforcement agencies who buy the device but recent public records released to Gannett, Wisconsin media and other news organizations have shed some light on how it works. The suitcase-sized Stingray masquerades as a cell phone tower and tricks all cell phones within a roughly one-mile radius into connecting to it. Cell phones are constantly seeking out area towers in search of the strongest wireless signal, and phones mistake the Stingray for a tower. Police typically use the technology to locate a specific phone, but the device captures location and identification information on every phone within range. The Stingray, typically accompanied by a laptop to receive the data and a directional antenna, is generally installed in a vehicle and allowed to allow use anywhere. Since it uses the phone's cellular connection, the Stingray can track any phone, not just the more advanced phones equipped with GPS. As part of a USA Today Gannett investigation on the use of Stingray cell tracking devices around the country, Gannett, Wisconsin investigative team sought records from the State Department of Justice on any dealings with Harris Corp, the maker of it. A public records request was filed November 7th for all contracts and funding requests involving Harris. But no documents were turned over for 3 months, despite an email from DOJ spokeswoman Dana Bruick in late November saying the request was nearing completion. They eventually, in mid-February, had to turn to Bob Drapps, who I've used. He's an attorney for the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and the Wisconsin Broadcast Association. And they kept going back and forth and back and forth, and they finally did get some information, but it was heavily redacted. They released very, very little about the information itself. The crux of their story is that, yes, a warrant is required, but again, it could harvest the information of all phones within that range. I think this is rather chilling. And I think there needs to be a follow-up effort by the media to get more information in terms of the information that was redacted from the records that they did finally give to Gannett. By the way, there's been an effort to deal with this already in the legislature. State Senator Glenn Grothman was actually the lead sponsor of a cell phone tracking bill that would monitor this stuff a little bit more. The ACLU in New York weighing in on this because stingrays used around the country. It appears obtaining a warrant is common practice for stingray use here. Based on testimony in a Milwaukee Stingray case, a Milwaukee police officer testified in 2011 that his department always obtains court orders before using the Stingray. Police in other states use it without a warrant. This, I think, is perhaps even more distressing than what we've heard on the federal level. By the way, specifics on the Stingray are hard to come by since the manufacturer, Harris, won't discuss this technology and requires customers to sign non-disclosure agreements. Invoices for upgrades purchased by Milwaukee Police and the Department of Justice last year bar disclosure without giving Harris timely notice and the opportunity to challenge such disclosure under applicable laws. DOJ spokeswoman declined to answer questions about Stingray, and the DOJ redacted documents related to Harris Corporation in response to public records requests. I believe the public has the right to know everything about this. Before you can even get into the debate, here's what I think is the salient issue here. Before you even get into the debate about whether they should be using this, I do not believe that the, well, you know, this is investigative tools and we have the right. I disagree. I think the public has the right to know exactly how this is being used and exactly how it works. And I think now that they've received these redacted forms, the media should band together and insist that they receive all the information about Stingray. And I will admit, yes, this might compromise some investigative ability. I will concede that. But if this thing can soak up data from phones all around it, not just the targeted phone, I think citizens have the right to know that, know exactly how it works. And again, I applaud the Gannett newspapers for this effort. It's a long piece. I can't share the whole thing with you. Speaking of sharing things with you, I again take the bullet so you don't have to. I went and watched Noah with my wife yesterday. We will be discussing that, and I'll tell you right now, and I'll say this again when we get to it, lot of spoiler alerts. Another state lawmaker is now considering a primary run against Congressman Tom Petri. We'll tell you at 9:06. You can find out right now at the Bader blog at jerrybadershow.com. Collateral damage. The woman caught in John Doe 1.0 speaks out for the first time. Compelling stuff. And will Bill Cramer force Assembly Republicans into the spectacle of expelling him? What a busy, busy day on the show. It all starts at 9:06. It's 8:56. Oh, yeah, it's opening day.
Your home for Milwaukee Brewer baseball. 13-6.